Good evening. I'm Michael Cohen, producer James Platy on the board. Thanks for joining us tonight. It is Wednesday. On today's program, the author of the book The Big Thirst is coming to East Lansing tomorrow. He says we're on the cusp of a whole new era. He calls it a water revolution. We'll find out exactly what that will look like and how that would impact us here in Michigan. And Senate Republicans are calling on teachers to pay more for their retirement health care benefits. A coalition of those that oppose the measure holding a press conference today. I'll talk to a spokesman of the group to find out why teachers shouldn't be paying more. But first, well, state officials say the revenues are up even higher than projected in January, but the House and Senate fiscal agencies don't agree on the numbers, which do vary significantly. To talk about why that is and what kinds of projections are now being made, I'm joined by David Zinn. He's the chief economist for the Senate fiscal agency. David, thanks for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
Now, from what I understand, the real variance is the school aid fund collections. The House fiscal agencies say it's $30 million above projections. The Senate fiscal agency says it's $86.7 million above forecasts. Is that, in fact, the case, and why is there such a wide variance there?
Well, to answer the question of why there's such a wide variance, each agency, while we use the consensus estimates for what we will get for the fiscal year totals, we each have our own methods for how we allocate when we think we will get those revenues. So there's an agreement about where we'll end up at the end of the year, but the time path isn't always the same, isn't always based on the same assumptions in terms of how to get there.
I see. So the numbers could be very much in line. It's just that they think the money won't be there by the end of the fiscal year.
Right. So, for instance, you know, we both think that for fiscal year 12, the current fiscal year that we're in, we'll wind up with about $6.9 billion worth of sales tax revenue, but each agency, the House fiscal agency, the Senate fiscal agency, and the Department of Treasury has their own guesses of how much of it we'll get in, say, February, or how much we'll get in May, or how much we'll get in August.
Now, the two numbers, are they accurate then, $30 million for above projections for the HFA and over $86 million for the Senate fiscal agency?
The HFA number, I believe that's what I read, I think about $30 million for school aid fund. We're looking for just March, it's 86.7. Now, February we were up a lot less, and January we were actually below our projections. So for a year-to-date number, and I think the year-to-date number is what the House fiscal agency number was, our year-to-date number would be about $79 million.
Well,
so not quite as
over,
much.
So just for March, over $86 million above projections. What is driving this huge and sudden revenue increase?
A lot of that was due to we had a strong month on sales tax collections. And part of that may reflect some calendar year issues. We generally receive less revenue in a month that ends on a weekend simply because the state closes its books at the end of the month in terms of the revenue it got in the door for counting monthly revenue. And if the end of your month falls on a weekend, you don't have people that are processing returns.
So
we make an adjustment for that, and largely, it's kind of guesswork.
The guesswork part of it is intriguing because it seems that the whole thing is enormously complicated. And then you have these two fiscal agencies that are producing different numbers. Who do lawmakers rely on, and which number becomes official?
I don't know that any number becomes official since the monthly, we call them the monthly spreads. The monthly spreads aren't something that we come to an agreement on. We don't agree with them on the consensus conference. We don't meet and work them out together. You know, they're based on our assumptions about, you know, how things are going to unfold. So I don't know that there's like an official over-under sort of number. And the second thing, and this is true for all of the agencies, is 1 month does not a year make. And so you can wind up with 1 month being up quite a bit and 1 month being down quite a bit. And we try to caution lawmakers not to, just like with employment numbers, 1 month doesn't a trend make. It doesn't mean the consensus estimates are incorrect It just means we had a good month. We'll need to see how that goes.
I'm talking to David Zinn. He's the chief economist for the Senate Fiscal Agency. So, David, are we now definitely trending at revenues that are above estimates on the whole? Do you expect that to remain the case for the year as a whole?
It's hard to tell at this point. Certain taxes look like they're starting to show a little bit of strength. The consensus group had a lot of concerns about what consumers would do in the coming year. The last 2 months, we've had strong sales tax growth. One could make an argument that perhaps, you know, the sales tax estimate should be higher, but there's a lot of data out there that says consumers are once again trimming back on credit usage, and there's concerns about the economy and gas prices and stuff. And so it might be that the consensus group, when it meets in May, will decide the estimate's just fine. So I really would hesitate to guess whether any of these numbers will go up or down or stay the same in May, since each agency comes up with its own forecast based on what it thinks is going to happen in the economy.
What about the elimination of the Michigan business tax? How has that affected revenue to the state?
It's made it harder to forecast. The new tax, of course, we have very limited information on, and when we will get money for it is largely an educated guess in terms of the timing of how that will come in. Similarly, when we got rid of the SBT, the revenue trailed off for a long period of time, where you still had people making annual payments and then penalty payments and filing refunds. And we expect to see the same sort of thing going on with the Michigan business tax as it fades out. This April, annual returns will be due for last year, which was, of course, the last year of the MBT. So we are still collecting that revenue, but we expect to continue to collect less as we move forward.
One of the things about the MBT were the many tax incentives that were a part of our system. There's been a major debate over exactly how many of those remain. You know, Democrats have this 2020 plan. They want to provide free college education to Michigan high school graduates. They say we still have tens of billions of dollars in tax credits out there that we could eliminate to fund this program. Republicans say they're all gone, or most of them are, at least. Do we have any idea of how many of those incentives are out there and how many businesses chose to remain with the MBT?
We have estimates for the number of the value of the credits that we expect businesses will continue to claim under the MBT, and that's largely based on awards, basically promises that we've made those taxpayers. So if you, for instance, received a mega credit that said that if you made XYZ investments, we would give you ABC amount in credit. You know, we have an estimate of what those credits will be based on how historically taxpayers have claimed those.
Do we know what that number is then?
The number for the current fiscal year is $293 million.
Wait, so $293 million in tax credits for when it comes to all businesses operating in Michigan?
Well, for the businesses that will continue to pay the MBT so that they can claim those credits that we had awarded under the old system. Things like film credits that were awarded, certain mega credits, some of the other brownfield type credits and stuff like that.
I guess I've tried to understand this because Democrats have claimed that there was a time where we had well over $30 billion in tax credits that we were giving away. Is that in any way accurate?
A lot of the number we believe, and we haven't been asked to do a formal analysis on the 2020 plan, but looking at the figures that we've seen in it, it looks like those figures come from the Department of Treasury's tax expenditure report, which is a listing of all of the credits, exemptions, deductions that essentially we grant people, and it's not just stuff under the Michigan business tax. A lot of it's under the sales tax. It's exemptions of certain services and a whole variety of things. So it's not just business taxes, and it's not just credits.
Now, one last thing. There was so much made last year of the school aid fund surplus being moved into the general fund. I guess that could happen again if lawmakers chose to do that. But when it comes to really deciding how much money is in the school aid fund, at what point is that made, especially when you have such a different view of the revenues that are being brought into each of these funds, you know, month by month?
At the end, we've all got the same ending point, and that's the amounts that we've agreed to on the consensus conference. From the viewpoint of coming up with next year's budget, the legislature and the governor are constrained by the consensus estimates. We meet in January. We set up those estimates. That's what the governor uses on his recommendation. We meet again in May, and those are the estimates that are used to set targets for the final passage of the appropriation bills. So in terms of the initial budgeting process, we all have the same number, and it's a number we've agreed to. As we move through the year, we all look at our targets. We all look at what's actually coming in. But when we finally finish the year, the Department of Management and Budget and the Department of Treasury are the people that handle the accounting and processing the receipts, and the checks we get in are the checks that we get in.
David Zinn, the Chief Economist for the Senate Fiscal Agency. David, thank you very much for coming on the program and giving us some insight into this complicated process.
Well, thank you very much.
And we'll be right back. But first, send us some feedback. Our email address is ccrecap@gmail.com. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.